Greetings this morning in our Lord Jesus, the Savior of mankind's name. Well, this is a blessing to be together this morning in this way, and looking forward to spending the time together today and fellowship and hearing the Word of God, and it's been a joy already to just be here and sing and lift up our hearts in worship to the Lord. He is worthy. And thank you all for being here, visitors and all. Just thank you for your interest here, and may God be glorified here among us today. Lots of new things, isn't it? It's just different and new, and yet still brings back many old memories of the many years that we worshiped here before we moved to the west side of the county. And now we're back here again. And so many, many memories. And I was here when we had our first service back in probably, what was it, 1991? Maybe two. Yeah, it was probably 1992. Well, we got married in 91, and I was trying to think. We met at CAM for how long was it? Yes, here, specifically here. Was it the fall of 91? Okay. We started sometime in June, I think, as a congregation in the CAM building warehouse over there. And then in the fall of 91, I guess it was, that we moved in here. So it's been a long time, and then we were gone for almost 2 years, and now we're back, some of us. So we trust that the Lord will do great things in our midst, just like He did in time past. Let's ask Him for that. Could we kneel together, those of you who can? I know it's a little tighter than we're used to, maybe, but if you can, let's kneel together. O God, our Father, we beseech Your face this morning. Lord, You've brought us this far in life. Lord, You've been with us. Your presence has been with us. You've done great things for us, of which we are glad. Yet, Lord, as we look at the future, we just seek Your face earnestly, desiring that You would sustain us. Lord, that You would strengthen us as a people. Lord, as Your work needs to go forward, and there's many souls that are needing to be brought into the kingdom of God, we pray, Lord, that You would make us able ministers of the gospel. Lord, not only in word, but in action, in deed, and in truth. Father, we pray that You would bless us here this morning as we've gathered here for our first service here. Lord, we pray that You would be in our midst, Lord, and we pray for the anointing of Your Spirit to be upon us, Lord, today. And let the Word of God be rich to us, Lord. And may it strengthen us in the inner man and cause us to just draw near to You in a great and special way, Lord. And just pray that You would strengthen each one, Lord. And where our faith is weak, would You strengthen it, Lord, and make it strong. Oh, Father, we just look to You today. Pray for the anointing of Your Spirit upon this feeble vessel, Lord, that it could speak Your mind and will to us today. And Lord, we pray that You would just edify the body of Christ here. We pray, Lord, that You would be with our brothers and sisters elsewhere that are meeting, Lord, all over this globe, Lord. And we pray for our brothers at Shining Light this morning. Bless their service, enrich them, and strengthen them in the inner man as well today. Bless their service, Lord, in a real way. God, we just pray, have Your will and way here in our midst. We trust You. You're a good God to us, and we look forward to what You have for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought about meeting in here again, and I thought about some of the things that took place in the spring of the year here as we prepared our own hearts, first of all, for what we have here this morning and meeting in two different congregations, and then the need for this building. It was built in 1896, is that right? That's 119 years ago that this structure was put up, and it had a sandstone foundation under it that only went down about 3 feet or so, with some gravel underneath that, and over the years and deterioration and so forth, we felt it a need to keep the moisture out in a better way than what we were experiencing in time past here. And so we lifted this building up, and we put in another foundation underneath it and took out all the sandstone, and I forget how many feet we had. Dirk, was it 1,800 and some feet? I forget exactly how many feet we had, but it was a lot of footage of sandstone that was under this building, which we maintained. That one stone seemed like it was kind of precious to us, that was out here in the front corner, and you'll see it downstairs. It's again in the wall, not necessarily supporting anything as such, but it's in the wall there, and you'll be able to see that over fellowship time, fellowship meal time here. But as I thought about the structure of all of that, and the need for a new foundation under the building here, and so on, I thought about some of the things that were involved, and there was a lot of hard labor and work that went into it, and God bless each of you who participated in all of that. Many of you labored here and worked here, and it was a blessing working together in all of that. But for a building to stand, it needs a good foundation, doesn't it? It needs something that's solid. It needs something that will withstand the storms of life and so on. And you know, in a foundation, like I mentioned here, we took out a lot of stones. And you know, in a foundation, there's a lot of stones in a foundation. We don't use stones; we use block. And now there's a lot of block in a cement blocks, you know, that are in a foundation, the way we build today. But you know, when this was built, they used these stones, and they were heavy, and they put them on top of each other, and I don't know, it was quite an art to put that puzzle together. The way we took it apart wasn't so hard, but the way that it was put together, I'm sure it was very time-consuming and very laborious to put all those stones in place, and it took many hands, I'm sure, to build the foundation here. And I thought about all of that, and I was impressed that, you know, I feel like it would be good for us. You know, this building is one thing, but it would be good for us to look at our foundation as a church. For we as a church are going to withstand the storms of life. The end of time, I believe we're living in the end of time. If we're going to be able to withstand the storms that come, I think it would be good for us to examine our foundation and what we're built on. I think it's very important for us, in fact, that we examine that. And I'd like to share on that this morning. The title of the message, and I really do hate to erase this because I feel like this is a very important part of this foundation, this parent-child relationship, but in order to do what we need to do here. I'm going to write the title up here this morning. If foundation stones of the church. Foundation stones of the church. And we could have probably titled it quite a few different things, but that's what I chose to title it here. And when we speak of the church as foundation stones, you know, the church is made up of more than this building, and I know that we're all aware of that, but the church is made up of individuals who are built upon something. They are built upon something, and I think it's good for us to examine what we are built upon. This morning, we can have all the right kind of doctrines and have it all right. We can have the right theology, but the church will not stand if we as individuals have not solid foundation stones under us that are in place in our lives. And we as individuals, and as I speak of the foundation stones of the church, when I speak of the church, I'm talking about myself, I'm talking about my wife, I'm talking about you as an individual person, each soul that's here. We need this foundation, this solid foundation under us. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You probably presumed I would go there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 16 as a text here this morning. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every one shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And we'll stop there. We could go on, but we'll stop there. Here we have a couple things here mentioned. In verse 9, he says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Ye are God's building. And a building will have a foundation. It will have something that it is standing on, that it is sitting on. It will have something there. In verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And then in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the very first stone that we'd like to speak about this morning. And that's probably as far as we'll get this morning. I made this plural because there's some other stones I would like to also look at. And as we look at foundation stones, I'm looking at things that if you would take them away, Christianity would crumble. Your walk with God would crumble. My walk with God would crumble if we would take it away. So I'm looking at some specifics as we look at foundation stones. But the first one we'd like to address here this morning is Jesus, the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. I don't know, is there someone in here that enjoys drawing? Does anyone enjoy drawing? That can maybe do a little bit 3D-ish drawing? Don't be so bashful. Some of you can draw, I think so. Anyone here? It doesn't have to be very complicated. Here we have, I think we had one back here too. We have two of them. Who's back here? No? Too bashful? Who am I missing? Is there a young man that can draw? No one can draw. Oh. Go ahead. Come up here. I just want a simple block. Just like a simple stone. Make it about this big. And try to make a little bit of a 3D so that we can kind of get a little picture from the different sides. Perfect. Good, good. Yes, that's good. That's good, thank you. Just want to have something to look at here this morning that we can get, you know, a three-sided picture of what I'm talking about as we think about Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Because that's who the Bible depicts him as, the chief cornerstone. Because we have moved away so far from laying stones for our foundations in the land that we live in, we just use these cement blocks that crumble pretty easy, in fact, and so on. But because we have moved away from that, we also have lost some of the beauty of what happened when they laid a stone. And when they laid, especially that first stone that was laid, that first stone that was laid for a building to begin in the natural, that first stone needed to be very straight. It needed to have some very straight sides to it, and especially so needed to be very square. Because, you know, if you would use a stone that's lopsided and that the three sides weren't very square and stable, it would definitely affect the building. Because when that first stone was laid, everything basically that was done in the foundation of the building was squared off of that first stone that was laid. So when the next block was laid, it was aligned with the three sides of this first stone. So any other stones that were stacked up against it and brought in here, it all needed to line up with the chief cornerstone. And there's a beautiful picture that comes into play here as we look at that in our own lives. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. But there's also other stones that are placed about this to build the building and to build the foundation that holds up the building. You know, we have in this scripture here, he talks about, now if any man build upon this foundation. There are other things that are used then to build the actual building. He mentions a few things here, gold, silver, precious stones, some use wood, hay, and stubble. We know those are very flammable things, and they will burn up, you know, they will burn up when the fire comes. But the gold and the silver and the precious stones will only gleam brighter as the fire hits those. So there are things we can use in our lives as we build upon this foundation. But we're not talking about that this morning. We're talking about foundations and inspecting our own foundation and what we're built upon. When this stone was laid, there was usually a lot of ado about laying this stone. And I don't know how this one was down here when this final stone was laid, but because there was a time capsule underneath that stone, all sealed up in a copper box, you know, the different things that came out of that box, you know, and it was set right back there in that corner, I'm sure there was probably some special ado about that stone being laid. It wasn't just a normal day. I expect they had a dedication when they put that stone in place. And so it was when that first stone, the chief cornerstone, was laid in a building, there was much ado. And we can read it in history, and I dug up a little bit of that in history, not in a good way, but it was in the land of Israel, the Canaanites. The Canaanites made a great celebration and a great ado when they built a building and laid that first stone. But it was not in a good way. They made an ado in the way that they would actually lay children underneath that stone, or they would put a older adult under that stone as a sacrifice. That was the kind of ado they made out of it. You know, I don't know if that person was alive when they laid that stone down. I presume he was. That person was alive because it was considered a human sacrifice. It wasn't just that they were burying someone there. So in that way, it wasn't good. But what I'm picturing here is something that was of a great ado. Something that was of great necessity. Now, there were various ways that a cornerstone was used. There was sometimes it was the first stone that was laid, and then later on it became the what they considered the capstone or the last stone that was laid. And it was a beautiful picture because what does Jesus say about himself? The first and the last. He is the first and the last. So whether we use him as the chief cornerstone where everything is aligned from him, or whether we place him as the last stone in the foundation, either way works with me because he is the first and the last. And everything needs to align with him. In Matthew 16, verse 15 through 18, Jesus was speaking to his disciples and asking them, "Whom do men say that I am?" And we know of Peter's confession here. You know, the people were saying, well, he's Elias, or he's, you know, great prophet, or they were naming off some names. And Moses, I think, was mentioned there, maybe. I'm not exactly sure. Matthew 16, verse 15 through 18, he saith unto them, to his disciples, "But whom say ye that I am?" You see, he brought it down to his very own. And I think that's what he wants to do to us this morning. He wants to bring us down to look at our own foundation. Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we may wonder, what was Jesus saying when he said that to Peter? You know, the Catholics think that, yes, it was Peter that Jesus was speaking about. Jesus was speaking about building the church upon Peter. You know, that would be a very crumbling experience because he didn't last very long. He's not here. I don't think that's what Jesus was referring to. He wasn't referring to the Apostle Peter. But I do think he was referring to the very confession that Peter made. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There is a lot of weight that hangs on that statement. And when we make that kind of statement from our own lives, when we testify of that kind of statement of who Jesus is to us, thou art the Christ. That speaks volumes, doesn't it? He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the one who is the Savior of mankind. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a recognition that he is one with God. Our foundation stone, the chief cornerstone. It was the confession that Peter made that Jesus referred to and said that this is what he will build his church upon. And I believe that is where the true church of Jesus Christ is being built, is upon that confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The scribes and the Pharisees, they had a hard time accepting that. They had a hard time accepting that thou art the Christ. Jesus, making himself the Son of God, the Messiah, the scribes and Pharisees had a hard time accepting that, very much so. The anointed one, the cornerstone upon which the whole building sits and is to be constructed around. The scribes and Pharisees said, nah. So much so that they wanted to throw him down over the cliff, destroy him. They sought different times to seek out his life, to destroy his life. And finally, they succeeded to what they thought they succeeded, only to realize, I think, their mistake, some of them, later, to realize it was they that had crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus said in Matthew 21, verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, he was talking to the scribes and Pharisees, Did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. He spoke that to the scribes and the Pharisees, those who were rejecting this testimony, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, This same stone which the builders are rejecting is become the head of the corner. I think this was a prophetic. It was present day, but much more so, it was prophetic that he was going to become just that, the head of the corner. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 3, we have Peter and John entering the temple, and there was this certain lame man that was sitting there who was lame from his mother's womb, had never walked, and this man was like 40 years old, and he was sitting there. He had been begging for many, many years. Peter and John walked by, and in the name of the Lord Jesus, they commanded him to rise up and walk. And he rose up and he walked, came leaping into the temple. Well, this didn't suit the scribes and Pharisees very well. They were getting much too much attention. And so they brought them back in, and they had locked him up, I believe it was in chapter 4. Let's begin reading. Maybe we should read in verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow, the next day, that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, who did they set in the midst? Peter and John and this lame man. They set them in the midst and they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" What an opportunity. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Remember, they were rejecting this very Son of God. They were rejecting him. Verse 11, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." They were asking, "By what power? What by what name did you do this?" And they testified, "By the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the one whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by that name does this man stand whole before you." "By that name, this is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Why is this so important? Why is this so important that we recognize this stone? I think it's because of verse 12, what Peter tells them in verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So in examining our foundation that we're building upon, I think it's very, very, very important to look at this foundation, the chief cornerstone, and what are we built upon? The importance of this stone: there is none other name given among men whereby we can be saved. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Read in verse 1 through verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 2. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that buildeth on him, believeth on him, shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." We'll stop there. I want to look at a few of these descriptive words that are mentioned here about this chief cornerstone, this stone. He calls it in verse 4, he says, it's a living stone. This stone is not dead. This stone that where our foundation is built upon is very alive. He resurrected from the dead. Yes, he died once and for all, and is alive forevermore. He's a living stone. Disallowed indeed of men, not appreciated, definitely isn't appreciated, Jesus Christ, but he's chosen of God. Now, when they went to build a building, I'm sure they looked carefully at the stones that they were about to select for that first cornerstone. They wanted something that was square. They wanted something that was adequate. And so in that sense, this stone was carefully chosen. And so was the Son of God. In fact, there was none other that could meet the requirements of what God was requiring. Man had sinned. Man had fallen. And there was a sacrifice needing to be made for the sin of mankind to redeem us from corruption. God carefully chose that stone. It had to be a pure stone, a perfect stone. It had to be. And Jesus was just that. Isn't that a beautiful picture? But chosen of God and precious. Dropping down also in verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. We've mentioned that a number of times, but here it's so clear. He's a chief cornerstone. He's not just like the other stones. And we're going to talk about some other stones, but this is the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. And he says he's elect. There again, that word elect or chosen. He says, and precious. And in verse 7, he says, why he is precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Why is that? Why is this chief cornerstone precious to us? Go back to Acts chapter 4. Neither is there salvation in any other. That's why he's precious to us. There is no other salvation but under that name, the name Jesus Christ. And he that believeth, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And then he goes on to say that these builders disallowed this stone, but the same is made the head of the corner. And I believe he's speaking here in verse 8 about those who are disobedient, those who will not align themselves to Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. He is saying in the rest of this verse, it's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. You stumbled over stones before. You tripped over something, you know, tripped over the stone. This is how it is when we will not align ourselves with this chief cornerstone. We begin to have lots of troubles. We begin to have lots of troubles in our personal lives when we won't align ourselves with this stone. But he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. He's not going to be let down. He's not going to be ashamed. If you put your full weight on this cornerstone, Jesus Christ, it will hold. It's solid. It's secure. It will hold there. You can rest your whole weight upon it. You can order your life by him. Let me ask this morning, if Jesus is our chief cornerstone, how will it impact my life? We want to look at, inspect our foundation this morning. And I don't think we're going to look at it from the aspect of, well, is this cornerstone perfect? Is it square? Is it shaped up right? You know, we're not looking at it from that perspective, are we? Jesus Christ is our perfect example, isn't he? But the way that we want to look at this foundation this morning is more, how are we built upon it? How are we aligning ourselves on this foundation stone, this chief cornerstone? How will it impact our lives when he is our chief cornerstone? He is pure. He is free from sin. He submitted to his Father's will. He lived a simple life in service for others, did he not? His entire life was poured out for others. So how will it impact our lives? When Jesus Christ is our chief cornerstone, remember I'm bringing this down personally to each one of us. Yes, it is the foundation of the church, but each one of us makes up that foundation, makes up that part of the church as individuals. How will it affect my heart? First of all, how will it affect my heart? You know, the heart is the seat of the affection. Out of it flow the issues of life. Out of the heart. Out of the mouth, out of the heart proceeds. And we have all these things Jesus spoke about that come out of the heart, out of the mouth, out of the heart, out of our life. How will it affect us when He is our chief cornerstone? How will it affect our affections? How will it affect those when He is our chief cornerstone? When He is our chief cornerstone, how will it affect our thoughts? What we meditate on? And how will that affect our actions? Our motives, the intents of why we do things. How will it affect those things? Maybe it's the way we use our time. Maybe it's how we spend our money, the finances. Or maybe those things aren't relevant here. Are these things not relevant here to this foundation? Is there nothing that we need to align? Maybe it's, or how, you know, when He is our chief cornerstone, and we are built upon this chief cornerstone, how does it affect how I relate to others? Maybe even how I think about myself, whether it's an elevated or a deflated. See, neither one of those is the way God intends it. You know, if the church or we who make up the church are to stand the storms of life, the deceptions of our day, we will need to be built upon this rock, this chief cornerstone. We will need to align ourselves with this chief cornerstone if we're going to stand the fire, if we're going to be able to stand in the evil day, in the deceptive day that we live in, the storms of life that are going to come. There is no other name given among men whereby we can be saved. But you know, I fear lest that we, including myself, have just a head knowledge. You all knew this, didn't you? You all knew that Jesus was our chief cornerstone. If I would have wrote chief cornerstone up here, you would have known exactly what to write underneath, right? Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. But it can be such a thing that it's just head knowledge to us, our theology, and not a reality in our lives. And I fear lest we have just a head knowledge or a nice understanding of this and not the living reality and the commitment to align ourselves with this stone. To align ourselves with this stone. You see, if we're going to really be built upon this foundation, then we have to align ourselves with the stone, or the building's not going to come out right. And neither is it going to stand the storms of life that we're about to face. It's not enough to be able to say, young people, older people, it's not enough to say, I'm a Christian. The way that we align ourselves with Christ tells whether or not we really are a Christian. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And that departing from iniquity is when we see that we're not aligned, that we reposition. We reposition. That's called repentance. Reposition ourselves with Christ. This life of mine in this certain area is not lining up with Christ. And that's why I've been presenting this, for us to examine, how are we lined up with Jesus Christ? But you know, just like I said, you know, young people and old alike, you know, if we are building our lives on this rock, and we are aligning ourselves with this rock, it will stand the test of time. It will stand the storms of life. It will stand the fire that will come to try every man's work, to see what sort it is. But if we're building on what other people think of me, how many of us have built on that one for a while? What other people think of me? You see, if that's what we're building on, that will not stand. It will not stand the test of time. It's not what other people think of me. It is, what does God think? It is, what is the rock saying? The rock, Christ Jesus, the chief cornerstone. How does he feel about it? Not, what does my friend think about it? What's he going to think if I, you know all those thoughts that come through our minds? What are we aligning to? See, when we're thinking ourselves, you know, what are other people going to think? Then we are aligning ourselves to that, what other people think. And what other people think keeps doing this. And that's what we do when we try to align ourselves with that. We keep moving. But when we align ourselves to the rock, Christ Jesus, and what does he think about it? It becomes a solid rock to build upon. Beautiful, isn't it? And we can build upon something that solid. Sometimes we're building upon being accepted. We like to be accepted. I do. I like to be accepted. But when we are becoming, when we start aligning our lives by that, by acceptance and how people will accept me, you know, we go to all kinds of extent to make so people accept us. And yet many times we find they're not accepting us. Or we feel that way when we're done. But how about being accepted by the rock, Christ Jesus? What a beautiful place to be accepted. In fact, that's such a beautiful place that it doesn't really matter so much about if other people accept us, even though I think the body of Christ will recognize each other and accept each other. But being accepted by Christ Jesus. There's other things that we sometimes build on, like, look what everybody else is doing. And I can't do that. I'm not allowed. Is that a firm foundation for our lives to be built on that? That's where our focus is? He can do it, but I can't. Now, there are many things that the Christian can't do that others do. That becomes even tougher sometimes when it's amongst ourselves. Or maybe you're building on this thinking that, well, I've been raised in a Christian home. So I have a really good foundation, and you do. If you've been raised in a Christian home, you have a good foundation. There's a lot of good things, like we heard this morning, being built and being raised in a Christian home. Or maybe you think, well, I go to the right church that believes the right doctrines. Do you know, building on those things is not going to stand the storms of life and the fire that will come to try every man's work. It will not stand in that day. And I'm challenged again this morning as I pondered these things. I'm challenged in my own life to consider, how is my life aligning itself with the chief cornerstone in thought, in motive, in intents of the heart, in all these things that affect us, our actions, our words, the things that we say, the things that we think about, how we run other people down. How does my life line up with the rock, Christ Jesus? I see areas that, you know, need to be trimmed. They need to be reshaped, repositioned. You know, sometimes when we're trying to build on this rock, Christ Jesus, you know, if I'm trying to build on top of here, you know, I'm trying to set myself on top of here and align myself with the rock, Christ Jesus, you know, sometimes this thing right here is too big. This thing called I is too big, and it kind of covers up this rock, Christ Jesus. And when that is too big, we can't align ourselves, can we? It's pretty hard to line up something that's a lot bigger than what you're trying to line it up with. It's pretty hard. And so it needs to be trimmed. It needs to be reshaped. And I want that. I desire that. I want my life to be fully in line with His. And I need my brothers. And I need my brothers. Did you ever try to sight something up? Just for sake of illustration. Here you are. My dad and I used to put up a lot of fence. And many times we used string. That helped us out a lot because we would stretch the string between this point and this point. But there was times when we didn't have that string. So we were setting posts here maybe in the holes. So this one, we were trying to get this one lined up. And so you're standing here, right here. And you look this way. Yeah, that looks pretty good. And you look that way. Yeah, it must be about right. And that's how it was when you were kind of by yourself. But when Dad would say, could you run to the other end and sight this post up for me? The first and the last. And sight that up and line that up. You say, well, it looked so good. We had it set about right, we thought, as we were looking from this point of view. But when we came back here and looked, it was 6 inches off or something, you know. See what I'm saying? And my point in this is that when it's just me, when it's just me, and I'm looking this way, and I'm looking that way, and I'm saying, well, it seems like I'm pretty lined up with everything else. You know, I'm pretty lined up with Christ, the chief cornerstone in my life. But when my brother can come alongside and say, you know, how about this area? Did you hear how that came across? Do you understand how that came across? Have you thought about that? It doesn't seem to quite fit the chief cornerstone. And this morning I say that, and I say, I need my brothers. You know, I know that God has sent His Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God to also help us to align ourselves to the chief cornerstone. And I do want to lift that up as well. That really is important. And our sensitivity to God's Spirit in our life will many times help us to align ourselves with the rock Christ Jesus, as well as, you know, when we read the Word of God in our daily walk with God, we read the Word of God. That also helps, doesn't it? Say, oh, yeah, I need to be reminded of that. You know, my attitude yesterday just wasn't very good. And we need that. And God can realign us to the chief cornerstone if we'll allow it. But you know, I find I still need the brotherhood. And God used fallible men. God uses fallible men to show where we're not like Christ. God uses us that way in each other's lives. May it be so. Just a few questions. Yet in closing, can you say, my life lines up with His life? And are you committed to adjust in the areas that they're not lining up? Because I probably am right that most of us would say, you know, I see areas that are not lined up. I see areas that God needs to chip away some stone. I see areas where God needs to reshape this in my life so I can align myself to the chief cornerstone. Are you committed to adjust in the areas that are not aligned? And this morning, if you're here and you're kind of, I'm a Christian, but your life is, you know, just lots of ups and downs, and you really are not very earnest about your Christian walk. That kind of commitment to adjust where it's not lining up is not there, or at least pretty minimal. And I just like to encourage you, it's worth shaping our lives by His blessed example. What God shows us through His Word, are we committed to align ourselves? What God shows through His Word, through the Holy Spirit, what He reveals to us. And we say, oh yes, amen, I'm ready, I'm right there. That's what I want. I want to align myself to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God's working in my life. What if mom and dad point something out, children, in your life that they feel your bent is in a wrong way? Oh, no, I'm not quite ready to deal with it then. Or are we? Maybe it's a brother or a sister in your family that says something to you. Maybe it's a brother or sister in the church, in God's family. You know, if we resist in any of these things, can we really say that we're building on the chief cornerstone? If we resist when we need to be realigned on this chief cornerstone, if we resist, can we say that we're building on the chief cornerstone? And is it going to come out right if we resist in these things? Well, I'd like to encourage us. Let's take a look at our foundation. What is my life being built upon? What is it really being built upon? You know, the fruit of our lives tell us. They tell us so much, don't they? Jesus said concerning the false prophets, by your fruits you shall know them. And the fruit of our lives tell us so much. Am I becoming more like Christ? More like Jesus? Well, I'm going to close there. There are other stones I want to look at as we go through, looking at the foundation stones of the church. I'd like to look at the Word of God, the final authority. I'd like to look at a clear conversion. I'd like to look at loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, versus lukewarm Christianity. I'd like to look at honesty and humility. And I'd like to look at being of one accord and of one mind. These are foundation stones for the church. And keeping our garments clean. And maybe you have a few more you'd like to add. So I'm sure that's not conclusive. Maybe you have a few more you'd like to add. I'd welcome that. But I'd like to look at those in the future as we share here, by God's grace, to look at those foundation stones. How do they line up? May God inspire our hearts toward Him this morning. God bless each of you.